Aren't you glad that there's going to be a day that we don't ever have to worry anymore? Well, all of those of us, which includes all of us, those sinners saved by grace, great job, choir. Thank you, Mark, and thank you. Oh, my goodness, it's a great morning to be alive, a great morning to be in God's church. And I pray that you will get a blessing for being here. I'd like to say thank you for all those that are visiting with us. I hope you'll find this to be acceptable and you'll want to come back and be a part of this in the future. If you brought the Word of God with you, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. Last week we began to talk a little bit about Elijah and how he came on the scene and God sent him out to Cherith to be trained, and then he went up to Zarephath to stay with a widow to be further trained, and he had told Ahab that it wasn't going to rain for a long time, and it didn't. And all he was doing was saying what God had told him to say. He used those words very clearly. And today we're going to talk about what God was preparing him for. It was a bigger journey. It was a bigger mission. It was a bigger ministry that God had been preparing Elijah for. But I want to begin by sharing with you an illustration of kind of where this is going to go. Lady had two boys, and she was a single mom, and these boys were a nightmare. We raised two boys. I think they're raised. Hope they're raised. But you know how that works. Sometimes kids can be a nightmare. Well, she had just about all she could handle. And she called up her preacher who lived right down the block, and she said, "These boys are driving me crazy, and I've had about enough. I'm sending them down to you, and I want you to put the fear of God in their life." He said, "Send them down. I'm right here now. I'm ready. Bring them on down." So she went up and told him, said, "You go see the preacher. He's waiting on you right now." And boy, they walked out of there with heads down. They finally got down to the house, and the preacher got up, and he said, "You boy, you sit right down here in this chair. You wait out there in the hallway." So he pulled the chair out a little further in the middle of the floor, and he began to take a lap around that chair with his arms all folded up like this. And he said, "Where's God?" Deer in the headlights look. Little boy didn't know what to do. He walked around him another couple of times and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey boy, I ask you, where's God?" Well, he jumped up out of the chair, took off running, and grabbed his little brother by the hand and said, "We got to go, we got to go." He said, "We're already in trouble. If we leave, we're going to be in worse trouble." He said, "You don't understand. We got to go." So they ran back home. They ran upstairs. They crawled up underneath their beds. And the one brother looked at the other brother and he says, "Are you out of your mind? Do you realize what kind of trouble we're in?" He said, "Oh, this is nothing. This is nothing." "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "That crazy preacher down there has lost God, and he thinks we're responsible." It wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years, and Ahab was absolutely satisfied that it was Elijah's fault. And he began to look for him, and he couldn't find him, and he looked for him, and he looked for him, and he looked for him, and things got worse, and things got worse, and things got worse. And everything dried up, and animals died, and streams dried up, and it was a miserable time. So God told Elijah, "It's time for you to go talk to Ahab and tell him that it's going to rain." So Elijah went out, and he began to talk to Ahab. Now I want to read this passage for you. It's quite lengthy, so hang with me there. I think you'll really like the story. It almost tells itself. Chapter 18, 1 Kings, verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" Very important. "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land under the fountains of water and all the brooks peradventure that we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all of the animals. The story goes on that takes place. Obadiah goes out. He finds Elijah. And he says to, he asked him if he was Elijah for sure. And he says, yes, I am. And Elijah said, go tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah said, well, if you leave when I tell him, I mentioned this last week, if you leave when I tell him, he's going to kill me. And Elijah said, you don't have to worry about it. You need to make sure that you go and tell him that I'm here, and I will be here when he gets back. So verse 16 says, Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, verse 17, Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Boy, get that. It's Ahab who has introduced this Baal worship to God's people. It's Ahab and Jezebel together, his wife. That's like Bonnie and Clyde in the Old Testament. These were evil people, and they had done a lot of evil things. And Ahab is satisfied that Elijah's the problem. And Elijah's going to respond to him. And he says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, verse 18, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Elijah said, listen here, I'm not the problem. I'm not the one who's troubling Israel. I'm not the one who's caused all of this problem. I'm not responsible for this drought. I'm not responsible for all the cattle dying and the streams drying up. You're the problem, Ahab, because you've ignored God. You've introduced Baal. You are the troubler of Israel. You are the trouble of your own people. You are the issue here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to finally settle this whole process, and we're going to have a little contest here. So you call all your prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and you call all of the prophets of the groves, the Asherah, 400 of those, and get this, those folks eat at the king's table. That's 850 people who are absolutely opposed to God that the king and the queen are feeding on a regular basis. So what we have in the story is a simple, Ahab doesn't argue with the whole process. He just sent unto all the children of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Here's the whole key to the entire process. Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And notice the last phrase in that verse. And the people answered him not a word. What are they going to say? You see, when you don't want to commit to anything, you don't speak. Somebody challenges you to make a choice, you just remain silent, because that's a good sign that you're not ready to make any kind of commitment one way or the other. Elijah saw what was happening. The Baal worshipers were infiltrating those believers in God, and they were beginning to lose their appeal for God. They were beginning to lose their zealousness for God, their passion for God. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning just a little bit. How important it is to have a passion for the Lord. How important it is to have a zeal for the kingdom of God. How important it is to be motivated and enthusiastic about our walk with Christ. And Elijah had watched all of this. And these worshipers of Baal were beginning to influence in a very negative way the people of God. Listen, we have the same kind of thing going on today. We just don't call that Baal. The world influences our convictions. The world influences our devotion to God. The world influences the zeal and the passion that we have for God. And here Elijah is God's prophet, and he calls him and says, now's the time I need you to go and talk to Ahab. And you need to tell him it's about to rain. But first, we're going to challenge him just a little bit. Do you suppose we have any trouble today believing that God is who he said he is? For most Christians, there's not a problem here. But the culture and the world that we live in, there's a big problem here, because God gets the black eye a lot of times, so people don't believe that God is who he said he was. and that he will do what he promised he would do. And that becomes the foundation of our faith. Elijah, I want you to understand here, Elijah is by himself. He doesn't have an army behind him. He doesn't have reinforcements behind him other than his heavenly Father. And he's going to take a stand that is amazing. He said, you go get them prophets of Baal. You go get them prophets of Asherah, and we'll draw all Israel out here to Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a little contest. And Elijah stepped up and he said, how long are you going to waver back and forth between two opinions? If you want to serve God, then by all means, you ought to serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, by all means, then you ought to serve Baal. You need to do something. If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. You ever been caught between two opinions? You ever been pulled two directions making a choice? Do I come? Do I stay? Do I say yes? Do I say no? Am I willing or am I not so willing? Elijah put it out there for those folks, and they needed to get it. Today's the day of a choice. Get off the fence. Figure out whether or not you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. So when Elijah said that to them, they didn't have any answer for him. That's very indicting, isn't it? Verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I need you to understand something. The powers of the earth at that time rested with Ahab. So basically, Elijah is putting his life on the line if God does not protect him here. And then I submit to you that there are believers all over this globe who on a daily basis, they put their life on the line for the cause of Christ. Some of them survive. Some of them do not. So he said, I'm here by myself, and there's 450 of them here, and there's 400 of them there. But here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood, but put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said unto him, it is well spoken. Now they're going to speak. Why is that? Because they don't have a decision to make at this particular point. Elijah says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut this bullock up, and we're going to put it on an altar here, and we're not going to put any fire underneath of it. They're going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And the people said, hey, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. You should do that. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning until evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped up on the altar which was made. So they cut their bullock up and they prepared everything like this, and they began to call on the name of Baal, because the plan was is that whoever sends fire to consume all this, let that person be considered God and serve him. Elijah said, I'm going to dress this, I'm going to do the same thing, I'm going to put it out there. And he did that. And from morning until noon, it says, they cried out, but there was no voice, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Picture in your mind what that must have looked like. I mean, running around and jumping up and down and leaping on the altar and crying out to Baal with a loud voice that Baal would send fire down and consume this. Here's an interesting point. Baal was considered a god of the weather. Do you not think maybe that the God of the weather might have lightning in his arsenal? And that he could send lightning down and start the fire and consume that altar? But nothing happened. So Elijah comes along and he's watching all of this. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awakened. You need to talk louder. He can't hear you. He's a god. He should be able to hear you. So you should ramp up your voices. You should get more and more deeply involved in the process. You should be more and more enthusiastic about calling out to him, because, I mean, it's possible that, you know, maybe he's talking and he can't hear you. Maybe he's pursuing something and he's not paying any attention to you. Or maybe he's on a journey somewhere. Or it's even possible that he's asleep and you need to awake him. As I was doing this study, in my mind's eye, I couldn't help it. I just, God forgive me. I can just see Elijah standing over there with his arms crossed, leaning up against a tree, saying, come on, boys, bring it. He can't hear you. Do something. You're not getting his attention. He ain't paying no attention to you. You got to be doing something wrong. I mean, Elijah's probably enjoying all this. I'm not thinking that we probably should develop that particular attitude. But he's enjoying it. Verse 28 says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the evening offering, the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer. Listen to this, nor any that regarded. Now get this. They got a crowd of people there. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. And they gathered as many of Israel as they could get. I'm just telling how many people there is there. They are cutting themselves. They are bleeding everywhere. They are dancing everywhere. They are crying out. They are shouting to their God, and there's not a single thing happening. Not a single thing happening. That's what happens when you and I have false gods. If my bank account is my God, it won't do me a bit of good if I have cancer and I call on my bank account. Oh, yeah, he doesn't stop preaching, going to meddling now. Yeah, possibly. But listen, folks, you and I have gods that we don't even call gods. If God, Jehovah God, is not the Lord of our life, then something else is. And we need to be very, very careful. Elijah just said, y'all need to talk louder. You need to do something because something's not happening here. Nothing's working out. And notice that last phrase, nor any that regarded. There ain't nobody paying any attention to this craziness that's going on. The people who are gathered around there, they're not moved or excited about this process. They're not touched by the fact that they're running around and cutting themselves and bleeding all over everywhere. They're not even looking. They don't even care what's going on. Because you see, they're the ones living in the drought too. Maybe it's their cattle that died. Maybe it's their stream that dried up. And this bunch of crazy prophets that think they own God or they have a God that directs the weather, then why can't they pray to their God and let it rain? If he's the God of the weather, how come it hadn't rained in 3 years? Interesting. There's a quick answer to that, because God said it wasn't going to rain. And if God said it, then that's what's going to happen. I mean, it ain't complicated, is it? If God said it, you and I as believers can take it to the bank. I can trust this word to be true from front to back. I can count on what this word tells me about my life and what I need to do. I can trust the God that is revealed to me in this word. He's worthy of being my God, and I can trust him. So after all this goes on all the way into the evening sacrifice here, Elijah just simply walks up and he said, y'all come here. Verse 30. Come near to me. And it says, all the people came near to him and said, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. What you need to understand is on Mount Carmel, there were multiple altars to Baal. There were multiple altars to Asherah. There were multiple altars to false gods. And what they had done as the people of Israel had been inundated by the introduction of false gods, the altar to the Lord had been broken down. So Elijah started with the respect that he needed to start with, and he began by repairing the altar of the Lord. He was not going to do what he was going to do here with one of their altars. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. So now I want you to get this. He decided that it was the proper thing to do to repair the altar of the Lord so that this process became a sacrifice unto the Lord. It was Elijah's way of giving credit and giving a worship to the Lord. And he wanted all the people to see what was going to take place here. So you got hundreds of folks running and dancing and cutting themselves and being completely crazy and screaming and crying out to their God, and not a single thing happened. And now you have Elijah who just simply said, y'all come over here. He built an altar out of respect to the Lord. And that's the way it was supposed to have been done, and that's what he did. They made a trench about that altar. He put wood in the order. He cut up the bullock in pieces, verse 33. And he laid him on the wood, and he said, fill 4 barrels with water. Really? And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I read people who said, Wait. They're not going to get 4 barrels of water. There's a drought going on, remember? Where are they going to get 4 barrels of water from? Well, see, the Mediterranean Sea is not that far away from Mount Carmel. So there's a very real possibility that they went down to the Mediterranean Sea and got the water. But you know what? If God said fill 4 barrels with water, God could put some water wherever they needed to fill them barrels, don't you think? He could put it there for them. So irregardless of where it came from, it doesn't really make any difference. That they did it is what the difference made. And then he did all this, 4 barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that you cannot light wet wood. You ever tried to light wet wood? Doesn't work very well, does it? So he's got the altar, and all this wood is covered with water 3 times over. There's water in the trench about the altar there. And they've done this thing 3 times there. Verse 36 says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah just began his process after the altar was prepared, just simply by praying to the Lord and acknowledging that the Lord was his God. I realize, Lord, that you are God, and I want this day for people to understand that you are God. Hear me, verse 37, O Lord, hear me. Why is he doing this? That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You see, that has everything to do with what we read in verse 21. Elijah's out there because God sent him out there to start with. Elijah's doing what Elijah's doing because God gave him the insight to do this. You see, this is not about Elijah. It's not about Elijah. what you and I do in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you and me. Because you see, if it's about us, it cannot be about him. And that's where the conflict comes sometimes. Notice Elijah doesn't really draw attention to his power. He doesn't draw attention to his strength. He doesn't brag about his obedience or his faithfulness or his availability. Elijah just simply obeyed what he believed God was telling him to do. Hear me, O Lord. That's about as humble as it gets, isn't it? Hear me. Because I really want these people to know that you are the Lord God. And that they would turn their hearts back to you. Have you ever heard a message that spoke to you so directly in your heart that it changed your life? Have you ever heard a song that spoke so deeply to you that you couldn't get past the truth that was there? Elijah's heart, although he did a little mocking and acted a little bit human earlier, his heart is that this thing that happens today will be the catalyst for a brand new beginning. God, these used to be your people. They used to serve you. They used to love you. They used to live for you. They used to be what you wanted them to be. But now they've been introduced to Baal worship. And there's a compromise there. And their passion for you is going away. Their zeal for you has drifted away. They are involved in the world. And they're involved with false gods. And they're involved with things that have no future. And Elijah's crying out to God, hear me, Lord. Hear me. This is about you changing them. This has never been about me. It will never be about me. It's about you doing what you do in their life. Boys, listen. That's amazing. You see, that's how God works. He works through people. And a lot of times he'll put you in a place that you need to be so you can hear what you need to hear, so that you can do what you need to do based on information that is absolutely true. I love verse 38. Notice Elijah didn't have to dance around no altar. Elijah didn't have to scream and cry and cut himself and yell to God over and over and over and over again. That's just a simple prayer. Hear me, Lord. I'm your servant. And I'm here because I want these folks to get it. They need to make a choice today. If you're God, and I believe with all my soul that you're God, then they need to choose you. And if Baal is God, and there's nothing in me that says anything about Baal being God, then they need to choose that. It's almost like Demas out of the New Testament. Paul said Demas has gone back having loved this present world. You say, Brother Kenny, this is Old Testament stuff. This is just a story in Old Testament, but it's as relevant as tomorrow. Because you see, we're going to choose, aren't we? You're going to choose today. And you'll choose tomorrow and the next day who your God will be. And if it's Jehovah God, the one that revealed us here, that'll be the best choice you ever make in your life. Notice what Elijah does. It's so. Verse 38. Then, when was that? Right after his very humble and honest prayer to God. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When God sends a fire to you, it's the real deal. And there are no boundaries. When the Word of God, spoken passionately, sung passionately, prayed passionately, delivered, taught, any way you want to look at it, when the Holy Spirit of God makes the Word of God real in your life, God sends an all-consuming fire, and you will be different. Different. This fire got it all, including the water. And here we'll give you an idea of whether or not it had an effect. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the God. The Lord, He is the God." Didn't take long, did it? Elijah prayed. God heard. God sent the fire, and the people's lives were changed because they saw the truth before their very eyes. I love this story. It's a great story. It's not complicated. It's one guy trusting God to do what only God can do. And Elijah takes it very seriously because he realizes how treacherous and how evil and how much of a problem the prophets of Baal have been, how horrible the lack of leadership from Ahab and Jezebel as king and queen has been. The Bible says very clearly that no one provoked the Lord more than Ahab. And he was fueled and pointed in that direction by Jezebel, who was evil as he was. And Elijah knew this. God knew this. And the people of Israel on that particular day were going to begin to realize that if you compromise your walk with God in the world has nothing to offer you compared to what you can get by living your life out for the Lord Jesus. Listen, it's not complicated, folks. Somewhere down the line, you and I are going to choose a God for our life. It's not complicated. Choose the right one. Choose the only one that's alive and well at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and for me, that we would get it. Verse 40, Elijah's not done. He said, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "You need to get up and eat." And we talked about this last week, and I won't finish up that passage of scripture there. Elijah said, "It's fixing to rain. You need to get in your chariot and be gone. Eat something and leave, because it's about to rain." Hadn't rained in 3.5 years, folks. Can't imagine what that would have been like. And Elijah runs before Ahab in his chariot for 17 miles to the entrance of Jezreel. Listen. You're going to make a choice today. Two preachers were having lunch and they were talking. One of the preachers said to the other one, says, "Well, did y'all have any decisions at your church today?" The preacher says, "Oh, yeah." He said, "We had a bunch of decisions." He says, "Is that right?" He said, "Yep, everybody decided to go home." That'll happen here in a few minutes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad you have a home to go to. But this is the time for decision, and the question that Elijah asks is the question that you and I need to face as well. If God's God, then serve Him. And if He's not, then serve whatever it is you have in your life that you consider God. Because you see, it's never going to be the same. You can't ride the fence. You can't God can't be your God when things are going good and not your God when they're going bad. He can't be the object of your faith if the object of your faith is what he can do for you instead of what you can do for him. You see, folks, I'm just terribly simple, and y'all know that already. I'm glad to know that Elijah was terribly simple as well. He just simply put it out there. If God is God, then get off the fence and get busy. If he's not God, then stop playing the game and pour your life into whatever it is you think is God. But I can assure you that that second choice will take you absolutely nowhere. And there will be no satisfaction and no peace and no joy and no glory in anything other than the God that has revealed himself here. I'm just going to ask you an honest question this morning. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Is he your God? Is he the one that you pray to? Is he the one that you trust? Is he the one that has blessed you beyond measure? Is he the one that wakes you up in the morning and gives you life and purpose and direction? Is Jehovah God your God? Do you know him personally? If not, the sad reality is that you are serving some other God. And there is no future there. Not what we like to say, not what we like to hear, but it's the truth. Would you know him today? If you don't know him today, would you do that today? Would you step down this aisle and grab me by the hand and say, Brother Kenny, I need to be saved because I am as lost as yesterday. There's never been a time in my life that I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. He is not my God, but I want him to be my God. And we'll have a prayer. We'll nail that down here today. We'll take care of that today. That's what Elijah was saying. Make a choice. Just make the right one. Would you do that today? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for guys like Elijah, Lord, who just make it simple but profound. And Lord, there'll be lots of choices made here today, and I pray that some of those, Lord, would be the right choices. And I pray if there's anyone lost here, they want to get saved today. If somebody needs to join the church, somebody needs to be baptized, or somebody just needs to come down to this altar and humble themselves and get on their knees before you and simply just tell it like it is. God, I put somebody else in front of you, and I want to make that change today. I want to choose today for you to be God in my life. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do what you do best. Confirm and convict to your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?